Welcome to the Real Life English Podcast, where we help dedicated English learners just like you cultivate the courage, the confidence, and the skills that you need to understand real life native English, to communicate clearly with people from all around the world, and to make your life an epic global adventure. Now, are you ready to go beyond the classroom and start living your English? Can I get an aw yeah? What's up, guys? I have something really special in store for you. If you have ever wondered whether speaking with other learners will hurt your pronunciation, or what you can do at home, alone, to improve your pronunciation mistakes so that you can speak more clearly, or you suffer from perfectionism in your English learning, well, today's guest star of the podcast is going to clarify all of this for you and help you to speak English confidently. You're going to love it, so let's get to it. Aw yeah, boys and girls, citizens of the world, this is Ethan from Real Life English, where we believe that listening to podcasts is a fun, natural, convenient, and
fruitful
way to learn English. So download this podcast and listen to it while you're stuck in traffic, riding your bike, or even
going for a jog.
Oh yeah, we have a very special lesson for you today because I'm joined here in the global studio by the one, the only Rachel from Rachel's English.
Hey everybody.
How's it going today?
Good, how are you doing, Ethan?
I'm doing great. I'm very excited to be finally recording this podcast with you.
Yes, thank you so much for having me here.
And actually, if any of our audience has been listening to the podcast for a very long time, they might remember a few years ago, actually, you recorded a podcast here with Justin and Chad. But that's practically ancient history nowadays.
A very long time ago.
But we'll definitely put that in the show notes, which you can find in the description of this podcast and over on reallifeglobal.com. So if you want to continue learning with Rachel, that would be another really great lesson to listen to. But today, I just really want to take advantage of Rachel's expertise on American pronunciation. If you have not heard of her YouTube channel, then you must be living under a rock, because I think Rachel was one of the original like big English teachers over on YouTube and has been a huge inspiration to Real Life English as teachers and how we teach pronunciation and connected speech with our lessons and courses. So thanks so much for that.
Yes, of course. Thank you.
And I believe, is it right? You have like about 3.5 million YouTube subscribers now, right?
That's right. I'm getting close.
That's awesome. And I was trying to figure out like how long you've been in the game. And I think the number that I found was around 12 years.
Yeah, I first posted in October of 2008.
Wow, that's incredible.
YouTube was 2 years old at that point.
I was still in high school, so.
Oh my gosh. Wow, you're making me feel old. Not really.
All right, so we have a really spectacular lesson planned for you guys today. But before we get into that, I have a shout out for a very special listener out there. So today's shout out comes from Nina, who says, I would like to say a massive thanks to all of you. You're doing an amazing job. Real Life English has become part of my life, especially in this pandemic time. Your podcasts are authentically useful. Looking forward to hearing from you. Lots of love from Italy. So, yeah, Nina, thanks so much for leaving us that fantastic shout out. And I'm so glad that our videos and our podcasts have made good company for you during the pandemic. And I'm so glad to hear that you have been making productive time out of this. So if you want us to shout you out, all you have to do is head over to Apple Podcasts, just like Nina did, and leave us a 5-star review. And the great thing about this is that you're helping other people from around the world to have a lot of fun learning English with us. If you don't use Apple Podcasts, then go ahead to the show notes of this episode over at reallifeglobal.com/Rachel's English and leave us a comment there, and we might shout you out as well. All right, so let's jump into some burning questions that I have for Rachel. So before we get into today's main topic, I have some very quick questions that I thought would help people just to get to know you a little bit better. Maybe even some of them are fans, but maybe they don't know some of these things about you. So one of the first things is, where are you from in the United States?
I'm from a town called Gainesville in the state of Florida, the Sunshine State. I grew up in an area that is not very close to the beach. It's like the furthest you can live from a beach in the state of Florida. That's where I grew up. It was about 90 minutes to the coast.
Yeah, that's probably something many people don't see if they're going there on tourism, right?
Right. We have a lot of like oak trees and, you know, people think palm trees. We've got a very different look, but it is very beautiful, I will say.
That's amazing. And where are you living now?
I live in Philadelphia now.
So how did you end up there from Florida?
Obviously, via a lot of different cities. I had been living in New York City, and a friend of mine from college said, hey, there's this really great guy who lives in Philadelphia, and I think that you guys should meet each other. We had actually already met each other like 13 years before, but I said, okay, I'm game for this. So they put us in touch, and he came up to visit me. The rest was history. And I moved down here where he had a job.
Oh, wow. So it's a very romantic story, right? That brought you there?
Exactly. I will say it took me a while to get used to Philly. I'm a city girl. I love New York City. Philly feels very small next to New York City for me. And it took me a couple years to like get happy here, but I did it for love. And now I'm happy here.
That's so fantastic. I've never been actually to Philadelphia, but New York is really, really hard to beat. So I can imagine that it was a difficult transition.
Yes. One of my favorite things about Philly is I can be in New York in an hour and a half.
That is great, right?
Yes. Yes.
And how would you say that you became the expert on American pronunciation on YouTube?
Oh my gosh. Well, it all started with somehow deciding I should post my first YouTube video. You know, it was so long ago. I was living in Germany, and I was studying German at a language school with a bunch of people from all over the world. And one of them was somebody who was interested in American English, and he was asking me how he could sound more American. I was giving him some tips, and he told me that he thought I was pretty good at explaining that. And I thought, okay, I'm going to upload a video to YouTube, and just sort of took it from there. And that's how it all started. As far as how I developed everything I know, that came from doing it. And listening to my own voice, trying to really pay attention to that, and teaching. Teaching's been the biggest teacher for me, of course. I do have a background in opera, so I had studied a lot with, you know, singers and coaches all over the world, and I had learned a lot about my voice and about vocal production and how little things change the sound of the voice. And so I kind of drew on that knowledge as I was learning about how to teach American English.
That's incredible. It's I think that's so true what you're saying, because a lot of the English learners that I have met who have like the best pronunciation are actually musicians. Either they play an instrument or they sing or both. And something about that, I think and there must be like an awareness that you get of your own muscles of articulation that really help you to kind of tune into the unique sounds of another language, right?
I think so. And I also think that, you know, you hear things differently. You notice things like the rhythm or the melody of a language, maybe in a way that you wouldn't if you had never studied English. Oh, sorry, music.
That's such a good point. And what would you say that you're most excited about in life nowadays?
Oh my goodness. Okay. I'm most excited about the idea of being able to travel again.
I definitely feel you there.
Oh my gosh. My husband and I actually just booked a trip to Mexico for a very long time. It's for April of next year already. But it's going to be my son's spring break, and we just decided, let's get on it now. We need something to look forward to.
Yeah. I think the thing that I miss most is actually like looking forward to traveling.
Yes.
Maybe more so than just like the travel itself.
Right. So we've done a few, you know, drive around the U.S., see family things, but I think that will be our first international trip after, you know, since the shutdown. So energized by that right now.
I can totally imagine. And will you be traveling with your kids? I know from seeing on your YouTube channel that you've got some little ones running around the house.
Yes, I have a 2-year-old and a 5-year-old, 2 sons, and we're definitely going to be traveling with them. And also, we like to go with friends and family whenever possible. So we got a house that accommodates 8. So we'll see if we can't get some friends and family to come with us and just sort of make it more fun.
That sounds like the perfect way to, you know, jump out of this pandemic is to be in a big house on the beach with friends and family and have a great time.
That's what we're thinking.
That's so fantastic. So I think that now people have gotten to know you a little bit better. And now we can jump into today's main topic, where I'm going to pick your brain about pronunciation and how our learners out there can improve it.
Great.
Yeah, global citizen. Would you like transcripts for these episodes of the podcast so that you can understand everything? And how would you like to practice what you learn here by speaking with other listeners? It sounds like a dream, right? Well, now it is a reality. We're super excited to announce that we have started testing and are getting ready to release the much anticipated Real Life English podcast and speaking app, where you will be able to do all of this at the touch of a button for free. But before we launch our app to thousands and eventually millions of learners from around the world, we're inviting a small group of our friends and special fans to get a unique first look. I want to invite you to join us for private beta testing. You will exclusively be allowed to download and test the app and participate in scheduled speaking events. Most importantly, we'll use your feedback to guide us in building a world-class real-life English listening and speaking experience. To apply for our private beta testing program, go to reallifeglobal.com/reallifeapp or click the link in the description of this podcast. All right, so one of the main topics that I wanted to bring up and take advantage of your experience and everything with is that a lot of people out there are looking to practice their speaking and, you know, they're looking for people to speak with. And a lot of people, when they have this opportunity or when they're looking for someone to speak with, they've kind of like mustered up the courage and everything to go have their first conversation. The first thing they think about is a native speaker. But I think that maybe if you're not actually paying a teacher or something like that, maybe they're not always so in high demand, like someone that will just practice conversation with you. However, on the other hand, there's many, many, many learners out there who also want to practice their speaking just like you do, and many of them would also be willing to speak. So this brings me kind of to the question is that a lot of learners I've noticed have the objection to this because they think that speaking with non-natives will actually make the pronunciation worse because they might pick up on the other learner's bad habits. Do you believe that this is true?
I would not worry about that as a non-native speaker. I mean, I would never discourage speaking. I would never discourage practice in any circumstance. I mean, that's so much more important than finding the right person to practice with, I would say. Because really, it's just about forming those habits and that brain, you know, body connection. And that can only be done by actually doing it. Speaking it, spontaneous conversation. I also think, you know, once you get to be a mid-teenager, definitely up into adult, it's actually, I think, kind of hard to pick up habits from other people when it comes to speaking. If it wasn't, then someone could just watch a bunch of TV and have a perfect accent. But we know that's not true. We know that adults need more direct tips and more concrete understanding to change their habits and to break out of the comfort zone of the feelings of their own native language. So I wouldn't worry about that, and I would worry so much more about finding opportunities where you could practice. And if you had somebody who is not a native English speaker that you felt comfortable with, that you were going to be able to practice speaking English with, absolutely jump on that opportunity.
That is a fantastic answer. I definitely could not say it better myself. I think that in the end, it's so much more important that you're taking advantage of every opportunity than just that you're worrying about, you know, is this opportunity to speak going to actually like make my speaking worse? But that's obviously so much better than not doing it all, which definitely isn't going to help your speaking, right?
Exactly.
And there is, I don't know if you've heard the term like mistake fossilization, but there's like a lot of learners out there that they'll get some bad habit of saying something in a certain way. And basically they just get the bad habit that they will always kind of pronounce things in a bad way. So just to give an example, maybe depending where someone's from, most people in their native language don't have that TH, the th sound, and they might replace that with like a Z sound or a D sound. And they might say like tink or zinc instead of think. And I think a lot of people too, you know, when it's starting to speak and stuff, they're very self-conscious about these kind of things. And a lot of people too, maybe they'll get to a level of fluency and they'll just kind of maintain these bad habits of speaking like that because people can understand them, but it's still, they're lacking a level of clarity. So what in general is kind of like the advice that you give to people about these fossilized mistakes or these bad habits that they've picked up in their pronunciation?
I mean, I would say it all boils down to your goals and your communication. And if you find that your goal is to be understood and you are, even with some of these mistakes, then I don't think it matters. I think it only matters if it matters to you. You know, my students have a variety of different goals. A lot of them want to sound native, and others of them just want to be confident and know that they'll be understood. And so once they've reached that, and you know, our ears can tolerate a certain number of mispronunciations and still be able to understand pretty easily. So I think it really depends on that student's goal. Now, nobody wants to learn a language and not be able to speak it. Nobody wants to have people constantly be saying, what, what? So it is important to know what some of your issues are, your biggest ones, what will get you the most bang for your buck when it comes to changing a habit.
You used a really great expression there, bang for your buck. What does that mean?
Well, it just means what effort is going to get you the biggest result. It's sort of like, here's another idiom, low-hanging fruit. You go for the easiest, most obvious things to fix first that are probably going to have a pretty big impact, rather than looking for tiny details, putting a lot of effort into that. And even if you get it, the payoff may not be that big.
That's so true. And what do you tend to say to like students? You know, if you're talking to a student and they say that they really want to speak like a native, do you generally think like, okay, that's a good goal? Or what would you say to someone like that?
You know, I don't ever want to criticize someone's goal, but let's do talk about that as a goal. In my experience, students who have that as a goal tend to be less happy with where they are. And I think that that perspective, well, definitely slows down progress. And this isn't just about pronunciation. This is sort of like Rachel's life coaching right now, is I think perfectionism really prevents curiosity and experimentation in a way. And I think approaching speaking a new language, especially if the sounds and the way it feels in your body and the rhythm is very different from your own native language, that you have to have a sense of playfulness, openness, experimentation. And, you know, with experimentation and curiosity goes the openness to failure. Not that I really think that you can fail at this, but to making mistakes, to producing a sound that doesn't sound right. And when people have a fear of that, and they don't experiment enough, they don't approach it playfully enough, then I think it's harder for them to find the right sounds, the right feeling. I think it's harder for them to break out of the structure of their own native language and find something really new.
That's so true. I really loved what you said, that it's almost like you're setting yourself up for failure for most people that have this goal, because it's something that's really, really difficult to do. And if you want to put in the really hard work and try to really reduce your accent to the point that you pretty much don't have an accent, you sound like a native, then good for you. But I think just most people, it's probably not very practical. Most people just don't have the time to put into it. And there's more attainable things that you can get with less effort. And like, that's obviously a better goal if you're, for most people, it's going to be a more practical goal to have really clear English so that anyone that you speak with from virtually any country can understand you, especially in this world that we're living in, and especially I think past the pandemic, that so many of us now were working online. So many of us are working companies that are international. And so it might be a lot more likely, I think, for most people listening to this podcast, that you're going to be working and speaking English with someone from Brazil or Germany or Thailand than it is from someone from the United States or the UK or Australia, for example. So I think that's a really great piece of life advice for people there.
And I don't want to say that it can't happen, because I've definitely had students that ended up sounding basically native, but it is a special kind of student. You know, they have sort of probably an innate musical ability, like we've discussed, and they have an openness to accepting a completely new way to use their voice. And I found that it can be really hard for people, even when they think that they're committed to that, to actually get them to really break out of what feels comfortable for them. I mean, our voice is our expression, you know, it's an expression of our personality, of our being. And one of the exercises I have my students do is come up with like their backstory if they were an American. What is their American persona? And I challenge them to kind of think of themselves in a totally new way. And I find when they do this, that their body starts to free up and their sound starts to free up. But not everybody is ultimately comfortable doing that.
It's an awkward thing speaking another language for sure. And I've always felt like in each language that I've learned and speaking that language, it's almost like a different version of myself. So I think that could be like a really great exercise too, is if you're really culturally attached to being American or to are seeming like you're American or seeming like you're from the UK, it can definitely be interesting, I guess, to play around with that idea, think about your life in that country and everything.
Yeah. In the Academy, we call it developing your American persona. And there's a lot you can do with that. And I think it's a fun way to bring curiosity and experimentation and brainstorming and just getting out of your confines to your English practice.
Yeah. That playfulness I find is like such an important part of language learning, because in the end, it's like, you're going to sound silly. You're going to make mistakes and everything. So if you're treating it like a game, or you're treating it, you know, like something fun, then you're going to have a much better time than maybe that perfectionist, like you were saying before, who's so focused in on the details.
Another thing about perfectionism is it tends to bring, I think, some tension and effort. And that tends to make it harder to speak American English naturally. I find with so many students, we're trying to take the tension out. Little extra movements of the muscles in the cheeks, lips, neck. Any extra tension tends to bring the placement up and make the voice kind of thinner and harsher. And the opposite of that is that more casual, relaxed, warm sound. And so in that way, perfectionism equals effort, equals really trying, which also tends to be counteracting the work you actually want to do to sound more natural and casual speaking American English.
That's so interesting. I've actually been taking vocal coaching classes, and I haven't really thought before about that connection there, but so much of it when you're trying to sing is actually like relaxing all like the muscles and everything. Cause like, if you have tension in your throat and stuff, then it's like, you can really hurt yourself singing. And that makes a lot of sense too. If you're speaking another language and you're all tense, then it's like those sounds are just not going to come out natural, no matter how hard you try, probably.
Definitely.
One of the things a lot that you've said before too, that I wanted to come back to, is kind of like the playing around, you know, with your personality and everything in the language. And I think a lot of people miss out on the value that their accent can really have for them, because it gives you an exoticness and stuff that makes you different from everyone else there. Because I think in a lot of ways, if you're going to travel to the United States or to the UK or wherever, and you're wanting to meet people and make friends, you have a conversation starter right there. As soon as you open your mouth and your accent comes out and you're speaking, you know, clear, great English, but you have that kind of maybe musicality from your own language, it kind of gives people, you know, an in to say, oh, where are you from? That's a really interesting accent.
Right. I know that my students who live in the US hate getting that question. But actually, you know, some of them really feel like, I don't want to lose my accent. It's an important part of my identity and who I am. I just want to be more confident and comfortable speaking English. So I totally agree. You know, I sometimes get comments on my YouTube channel that are like, why are you trying to eliminate accents? And I want to be so clear always that I am not. I do not think there's anything wrong with an accent. I want to help people reach their goals, whatever those goals are. And the way that I know best to do that when it comes to natural communication is to teach, well, what would it be like if you had no accent at all? People can get as close to that as they want and that peel off. But I think everyone's individualism is beautiful, including their voice.
Completely. I always like to point out too, it's like, there are so many examples of people who are very famous or very successful despite their accent or even because of their accent. And I mean, we teach English with TV series a lot. So it's like, I like to point out, you know, Sofia Vergara or Shakira or Penelope Cruz or Arnold Schwarzenegger, who are people who, you know, they're at the top of their field and, you know, they have an accent and everything, but no one's judging them. It's not making them any less successful. I mean, we even did a lesson recently with Sofia Vergara, and there was an interview with her where she was talking about that she really tried to reduce her accent and she just wasn't having any success in film and stuff when she was trying to do that. But I think once she kind of came to terms with it and accepted her accent as part of who she was, then, you know, she got Modern Family and she became this huge superstar in the United States. So I think it's, if you are owning that and you're like confident and you work on the clarity and everything, it's like your accent could potentially really take you places, or mm-hmm. It could just be, you know, part of your heritage. It could be a part of yourself.
Right. Agree. Totally.
So that said, I think we can pivot a little bit and start as we start to wind down the conversation. But we've been talking a lot about, you know, that you should speak with anyone, take every opportunity that you have to speak. So there's a lot of people out there that maybe they're already being proactive about this and they're going out there, they're speaking with friends that they've met online. Maybe they have opportunities at work, but maybe they are finding that maybe people are asking them what a lot, that they're not speaking so clearly, or they're worried about creating some of those bad pronunciation habits like we were mentioning earlier. So usually what do you recommend to people if they're already speaking a lot and stuff, but they have some of these bad habits or they have some of these mistakes that they need to iron out?
Well, I happen to have developed a school just for them. You know, I used to, from my YouTube channel, I would get people emailing me, asking me to coach them. That was very exciting for me. I took on students. I got to work with people and it was so fun. And as I was doing that, I realized I was developing a lot of materials for my students to work on between classes. And then I thought, okay, this could be somewhere where anybody could gain access to it. You know, I could only take on 10 to 20 students at any given time. So I developed my academy and it sort of takes the concepts that you would learn on the YouTube channel, or of course I have videos in the academy too, but then it provides a training ground for them. So it's where you go from learning the concept by watching a video and understanding it intellectually to being able to actually have it be effortless in your body. Unfortunately, the only way you can do that is with training. It's not mind learning. It's not vocabulary learning. It has to be body learning because your body is what's producing this, and you want that to happen without your mind thinking about it, because you want your mind to be thinking about the content, the conversation. So those pronunciation habits need to be natural and second nature. And we get that through repetition and training. So I think a great way to do it is to come up with techniques to imitate native speakers. I know some people use shadowing. I have a technique that I developed that I realized is also used to teach adults English if they've had a stroke and they have to relearn their language. I realized this sort of listen and repeat method is similar to what some people use in that situation. So I would suggest finding some method, some technique. It could be mine in Rachel's English Academy, or it could be something else. You find your resources, you develop it. But something where you're doing regular training, where you're focused on actually thinking about pronunciation, you have the concept in your mind, and then you use your mind to guide your body to do it in sort of a repetitious way so that it can start to become habit. I also really encourage my students to do an exercise of recording themselves and becoming sort of critical listeners. My students understand a lot about pronunciation before they can actually produce it themselves without thinking about it. And that actually sets them up to be great coaches for themselves. They can record themselves. They will notice the things. They can find, oh, this word's a problem. Then they can train it. They can pinpoint what they need to do and work on it. And that's, I think, really empowering when students realize that they don't have to have guidance from someone else. With the right knowledge and the right method, they can actually really apply what they know to themselves and train themselves and really see results. I always laugh. I have like videos of me working with students and I'll have them do this method. And I'm like noting all the things that I would want them to tweak. By the time they've repeated it like 10 times, they have changed everything I would have told them. Like their ear and body figured out how to match what they heard. Without me saying, do this to your tongue, do this to your jaw, whatever. It's just so fantastic. I love that.
That is really great. It's kind of like an aha moment almost that people can, all of a sudden they see the pieces all come together.
Right.
And I'm sure like if people are creative, I've seen like so many, I used to use your videos when I was teaching and stuff with my students and I'd assign them, you know, if they were having trouble with a certain sound, with a dark L, for example, it's like, okay, go watch Rachel's video. And then like next class, we're going to work on this and everything. And if people are creative, they can go out and find those videos and work on it on their own. But I think like something that so many learners, it's like the information overload, you know, of like, where do I start? I don't know where to start. So do you have in Rachel's Academy, do you kind of like structure it for people so they can figure out what are the main things that they need to work on?
I do. I have something called a daily plan and people can choose to follow it or not. If they only want to go study the conversations, that's fine. But if they really want to get concepts layered on top of each other, then they can go through the daily plan. And part of what we offer in the school is a community group and online teacher feedback. We have teachers in that group. And so at the end of each module of that daily plan, we encourage the students to record some practice and then they can get feedback from a teacher. So they're not going down in the wrong direction. too far without getting some feedback and maybe getting their course corrected. But I agree, you know, the amount of stuff out there is completely overwhelming. And I think having a path can be really helpful. I also think students can put together their own practice materials. And I've tried to do that myself when I need to learn something, especially back when I was like a student and didn't have the money to pay for a resource. I would go to the library, I would figure it out. But now that I have an income, if I need to learn something, I'm more likely to pay somebody to get it done faster and to have that path made for me. And so that's sort of where I think the benefit of the academy comes in. I've put so much training in there, but students can step through it as they need to, find the right path, get that feedback, and feel the results.
And I think that one of the really great things there too is that, like you were saying, the repetition is just so important. And so it's like you can do this on your own, but it's like, how great is it if someone has kind of like made these exercises for you that you just go there every morning, maybe while you're having your coffee, and you do a few exercises and everything, you're working on that muscle memory. And I think definitely one of the really great things about pronunciation is like, if you're doing this, since it's like based so much on the musculature, on the kind of like everything having to do with like your mouth and your throat and like starting to teach it to do new things, is that you'll kind of see the progress actually like happening much more quickly than maybe with other aspects, like, you know, if you're studying grammar or things like this.
Right. And I always tell my students, I love how when they work on one aspect of pronunciation, other things tend to improve. Like if they're working on placement, their vowels tend to improve. If they're working on rhythm and they're really nailing it, their placement tends to improve. And it just sort of becomes this thing where if, you know, one thing isn't working, you move on to the next thing and you find a different path to that improvement. You know, Ethan, I've talked a lot already about my academy, and I think students have a sense of it, and I hope that they feel excited about what it might be like to train their voice, their American persona, and all of these physical habits in the academy. So I would love to offer your listeners the chance to join at a discount. I've created a coupon code for them. It's TV15, and that gets them $15 off their first month in the academy. So for anyone out there listening, hit up rachelsenglishacademy.com, put in that discount code TV15 for the monthly subscription. This is a subscription. It does bill monthly, but you can cancel at any time. We also have a 30-day money-back guarantee. So if anyone tries it and decides it's not the best place for them to work on their American voice and their spoken English, then they can just shoot us an email, let us know, and we'll get them canceled and refunded. Thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to talk about my academy and this training ground, this community of students that I feel so passionate about.
That's so fantastic. So Rachel, if someone somehow has not heard of you and not heard of your videos and your techniques and everything like this, which are really world-changing for both teachers and students alike, can definitely, speaking for myself, where can they learn more about you?
Definitely check out my YouTube channel and subscribe there. It's Rachel's English. I post every Tuesday. And also my academy, rachelsenglishacademy.com. You can learn a lot about what the academy is like and sort of get a tour inside of what that looks like. I'm also on Instagram, and I do like to share photos there of my life and my kids from time to time. So that's sort of a fun way to follow as well.
If they don't want to miss your trip to Mexico next year.
Right, exactly.
Awesome. Well, Rachel, it's been an absolute joy getting to talk to you, and I hope that we can have you on again sometime. Thanks so much.
Absolutely. I would love to.
All right. 1, 2, 3.
Aw, yeah.
Hey again, I hope you enjoyed today's lesson. Don't be a stranger. You can find all the notes like vocabulary, links, and more for this lesson on our blog at reallifeglobal.com. And connect with us and on Instagram at reallife.english for even more fun English recommendations. Do you want to continue your learning and get confident, fluent English? Then I have a couple great recommendations for you. First of all, check out our YouTube channel, Learn English with TV Series, where you can have fun learning to understand fast-speaking natives with your favorite movies, series, and more without getting lost, without missing the jokes, and without subtitles. Second, if you like our podcast, then our real-life native immersion course is perfect for you. It is the next best thing to studying abroad in an English-speaking country. Try it for free with our 3-part power learning series. Just go to reallifeglobal.com/pod to sign up. Finally, if you are enjoying our podcast, then please assist us in helping more people go beyond the classroom and live their English. You can do this by sending a link to this podcast to a friend or by leaving us a 5-star review wherever you are listening. We might even shout you out on the podcast. Stay healthy and safe, and I look forward to seeing you next week. Aw, yeah.